Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw. I'm here with a familiar face if you've been watching Insider Travel Report over the years. It's Mark Conroy, who's the Managing Director for Silver Sea Cruises. And we're going to talk to Mark about both when cruising is going to restart, when Silver Sea is going to restart, and also what it takes. You know, we're all talking about restarting cruising. I mean, there's a lot of steps that have to happen, in all of this to get it going again. And Mark is sort of an expert in steps on these type of things, because I know, you know, touring around with him and many, many ships that he's helped launch over the years. And it's really the details. You got to take a look at what's going on. And we're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Mark, how are you and where are you?
Well, I have in my home in Fort Lauderdale, and everything's fine. And I'm actually optimistic, which is good, because we do have good news about sailing again.
So indeed, we did get some good news last week when it appeared the CDC would approve cruising out of U.S. ports for ships with vaccinated guests and crew. What does that do for Silver Sea's thinking on restarting cruises this summer?
Well, you know, we already had the plan, and our plan has begun really around vaccination anyway. You know, the whole industry was hoping, and it's working, where we could create these bubble cruises where we could operate in Singapore and different places and create a bubble. And when you have a great cooperation between the government, the cruise line, and the passengers, it works. Because you look at Singapore, I don't know how many thousands of people Royals carried and a few other destinations. So those bubble cruises work, but on a diverse country like ourselves, or what we have to have, and it hasn't happened until starting now, is the governments have actually started talking to each other and talking to us too, which has been great.
Right.
Actually, they've been listening to us, but they haven't been talking as much. And now we have a dialogue. You know, Michael Bailey's kind of leading the charge for Royal Caribbean and along with the rest of CLIA, and the dialogue has become much more productive. I think what you're seeing is the reality of where the science has taken us. And that's Richard's deal, is always about where's the science take us. And that's how you have a conversation with CDC or the World Health Organization, is to talk about the science. And the science really kind of does show that if everybody's vaccinated, the whole dynamics of the cruise change. So while, by the way, the way the CDC is talking, if you want to still have a bubble cruise, then you can do so, but you've got to do the 30-day, 60-day trial cruise, all that stuff. And what I think we've been able to convince them as an industry is, if we can get the crew vaccinated and insist on having all the guests vaccinated, then most of that stuff, other than the onboard protocols, once you start operating, can go away and we can get back into business sooner than later. So, and that's kind of the same step that we took for the sailing of the moon starting in June 18th.
Well, I did want to ask you about that, because you did announce plans that the Silver Moon, which is your new ship, is going to start cruising out of Greece in June. Is that process well underway now, or are you still on track to do that?
Very, very much so, because what happened is, you know, Greece and Israel basically have got their stuff together, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, particularly with Greece, you know, their industry, tourism is their industry, if you think about it. I mean, they have fishing and shipping, but the real employer of a lot of Greeks is their tourism sector. Sure. So they needed to get it back on track. And so they've been relatively good at getting their own population vaccinated. But the other thing they did is the Minister of Tourism, working with the Prime Minister, basically came to the cruise industry and said, we need you to come to Greece. What's it going to take? And we said, we need access, number one, to vaccinations for the crew, and they've opened that door, as is the Israelis have. And by the way, it's not free vaccine; we're paying for it. It's just they give us, you know, we're trying to secure vaccinations for anywhere we can for those approved vaccinations that will work. So they came up with this whole. They did two things that were right, I think. First of all, they basically agreed to help us source the vaccine for the crew. And. And then the second thing they did was they also agreed to open their border to non-EU citizens who had been vaccinated. And those two things are really key. And so that's how it got set up. Now, what we've had to do is, first of all, you know, the moon hasn't sailed, but it's been sitting there ready to sail. So we've had to now bring in, you know, the majority of the crew, and we'll be in Athens, and they'll be vaccinating in the month of May, so that we [S2] Right. [S1] Get the two shots before then, and then start operating on June 18th. So, and what's been good about this is now the Brits are talking about possibly opening up for people who have been vaccinated on around May 16th, 17th, or that's when they're going to announce it.
Right.
And even the French, who have had obviously huge struggles, they've even announced that they hope to start allowing vaccinated non-EU citizens into France by hopefully sometime in June or early July. So what's happened is everybody's come awake to the fact that the trail of vaccination is the right trail to get on.
Right.
It's supported by the science involved, and it makes economic sense. You know, it's sad that Europe didn't do a better, you know, UK has done an amazing job. They actually are ahead of us on vaccinations, but
right.
It's a shame the rest of Europe, I think they were too busy, you know, negotiating how much a shot cost versus what the damage is to your industry. Every day it's slowed down. And if you think about Germany, what, 80 million spots, let's say they charge a dollar extra, that's $80 million. But what does the German economy lose every single day that it's closed? This is a classic, you know, bureaucratic kind of tripping over dollars to pick up pennies. But anyway, they're on the right track now, which is the most important thing to us.
So you have the stuff going out of Greece. You have a possibility, maybe UK and Europe. Are you pretty confident that we are going to see some cruising later this year, or that Silver Sea will have cruising?
Oh, sure. I think the second place you'll probably see us will be in the Galapagos. Two things happened again there. The government's decided, again, because of the islands, their tourism is their living and fishing, but mostly tourism. So what they decided to do in Ecuador, where things aren't particularly good when it comes to COVID, is they decided to vaccinate the Galapagosians first. And as you know, just by contract, all the staff on board are actually residents of the Galapagos.
Right.
So the ship now, it actually arrived last week in Bultra, and the crew's being, I think they're getting their first shots this week, and the second shots will be towards the end of May, and we're hoping to be able to start running in either late June or early July. The reason you could have gone to Ecuador before by taking a PRC test
right.
before you left home, and then you had to take another one when you got to the mainland, and then go out to Bultra. But the challenge we had there was that if we had a case, and you know, if they can't keep it out of the Elysee Palace and out of the Reichstag or out of a certain, you know, even Washington D.C., the it's hard to keep it out of, you know, it's so contagious, it's going to appear, but how do you control it when it appears?
Yeah.
And the rule would have been then, though, we would have probably had to quarantine the ship for 2 weeks, where
right.
if everybody's vaccinated, then what you can do is you quarantine the person that's affected and anybody they might have come in contact with, and then get them off the ship and allow everybody else to continue on with their vacation. And that's the exciting part of the whole vaccination situation. Plus, everybody being vaccinated, if the chances of having an outbreak obviously drop dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if somebody does become ill, the illness, it's been proven scientifically that the illness is so much lighter than it is if you haven't been vaccinated. So
well, certainly, you know, having been to the Galapagos even before I was vaccinated and experiencing it, I actually saw your other ship out there anchored. And I did it. And one of my two vessels, the one I was supposed to be on, this is for Metropolitan Touring, had some kind of COVID incident. So I couldn't go on that one. So I went on the other one. So it was, and then we passed, I think we passed a celebrity ship, and we passed your existing ship out there. This is before, what's the ship you have that just came in?
It's we have the Silver Origin.
The Silver Origin, that's right. I know that was making its way, and so it is there now. So you're ready to go.
She's brand new. Nobody's ever sailed on her except the crew, so she's brand new, and they're excited to get going because, you know, she was the oldest ship in the fleet and had the highest net promoter scores in the fleet. And this is unique because you think about it. First of all, it's Ecuadorian manned. We're required to use Ecuadorian or South American ingredients in almost everything. And yet it has amazing results with this older ship. You know, it was the old Renaissance 3 that I built back in 1988.
Oh, wow.
So we have this brand new purpose-built, you know, $100 million something ship with, you know, 50 great suites. And it's built to be there. So it's got the right ramps and the right equipment and base camp and twofold. It's got all these features that have just been sitting there ready to be used. So we're really excited about that. You didn't ask me about the rest of the world. Our thought process is as we run these 10 nine-night cruises, this 90-day period, at the end of that, we have this cruise scheduled to begin in Athens and continue on through the rest of the year. Okay. And we assume that that ship by then will start doing the regular itineraries that we had planned that cover the rest of Europe, or at least the rest of the Mediterranean. There is some hope for, you know, Iceland. Some people are operating out of Iceland, right. Iceland in the UK. But what we're kind of envisioning is that by October, we'll start seeing ships come back. We hope to have our three expedition ships down in Antarctica starting in November, December, and continue on from there. So that's really the plan, is we think by October, and that's how we're planning anyway, a lot of things could happen, that we'll pretty much maybe not have the whole fleet. You know, they'll come in gradually, because there's two issues you have to deal with. Number one is if everybody vaccinated, have you gotten the crew back together? But the other issue you have to deal with is, are there enough people booked on that particular departure to make it worthwhile running? Because it doesn't make sense to have a ship vaccinated, you know, and sail on a 600 guest ship with 100 people on it. We need to probably at least 30% occupancy to make it worthwhile, which is why we've encouraged people not to cancel, and if they're really serious about going, to hang in there with us, and let us cancel if we have to first, because first of all, we're more generous to both them and the travel partners paying commission if they're fully paid, but also gives us an idea of what the base is so that we can plan the startup economically so that we can have enough people on board to make it a reasonable experience, by the way, for both the customer and the guest.
Right. Well, and then of course we come full circle, and then you're hoping, I guess, by November that when you start some serious cruising of the Caribbean out of Florida, that will be a go as well, right?
Well, we have the Whisper should have done, it depends if she starts up in Iceland and Greenland and that area. If she does, then we had talked about, we were supposed to have a New England Canada series, you know, between Montreal and New York. And so we've been looking into a couple alternatives in September, early October, which would be maybe New York, New England without Canada, and with the ability to stop up on Pierre and Miquelon, you know, the French islands that are in the middle of the St. Lawrence, or maybe it's New England and Bermuda. Right. But we'll just have to see what happens with the CDC also in there, and if we're able to operate. So if not, I'm sure we will be back in the U.S., in November when we normally are. You know, we're a seasonal operator in the U.S. anyway, but we plan to start our season in November, December, because as you know, our world cruise actually begins in Fort Lauderdale, as does our 60-day round South America cruise, both of them in January. So we need to get operating in time to operate those two cruises, because they're terribly important to our guests. You know, these poor guests now, you know, the last of them got off halfway through the 2019, I kind of lose track of what year it is, but the 2019 cruise, they got canceled totally off the 2020 cruise. It's actually 2020 cruise, 2021 cruise, and now they're booked solid for 22 and 23. So we really want to have that cruise operating. See, I lost a year in there somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to talk about world cruises in a second, because I know that's a big topic for Silversea. But let's go back to talking about what is involved in getting a ship ready to get back. Obviously, we talked about the vaccinations. You got the crew back on board. You have crew on these ships now, you know, basically.
Yeah, there's roughly 30, 40, 50 on each of the ships. You know, this isn't like your sailboat or your motorboat that you park and put the cover on it and let it go. You got to keep all the systems running, the computers running, the engines running, you know, all the water pumps, everything going, or it does real damage to the ship. So we've got anywhere from 30 to 50 people on board any of the ships at any given time right now. I mean, it's called a warm layup.
Yeah. So would it take long to get it, you know, up to speed at this point for actually accepting passengers?
Well, there's three. I think it's a little bit more basic than that. There's three things that have to happen. First of all, itinerary planning has to develop the itineraries and have a conversation with the ports, because part of the regulation is the port willing to accept you, under what terms and conditions? Then we had to have discussions with the ground operators. Are you prepared and ready and willing and able to comply with our regulations so that you you know, your staff is vaccinated or tested, that your equipment's been clean, that you're not going to overcrowd the coaches and not take people to places where it's very crowded, you know, so, right. So that, you know, if you're going to go to the, you know, in Patmos, if you're going to go to the Cave of St. John's, you don't go there in the middle of the day when there's 200, 300 people there. You go in the morning or the evening when it's not as busy. So, and that's what we've had to do. So that's the first step. And then the second step is getting the crew back together. And again, determining on how they can travel, because that's part of it.
Right.
You've got to get approval for somewhere to allow them to travel to that place if they're not vaccinated, or if they can get vaccinated at home. So, you know, some of our crew is European, so they can get vaccinated at home, but we have, you know, crew from the Philippines and Indonesia and South Africa and Australia, and they all have to figure out how to get there. So, but we were able to do it. You remember we ran the Silver Spirit in Saudi Arabia for the month of, July and August, July, August, and September. And we were able to put the crew together with great work of our operations people. I'm so proud of them. I unfortunately had nothing to do with it, but they got the crew together in about 30 days.
And, that's amazing.
And we ran that whole season, you know, and we had one case the entire season, right. And we were able to get that person isolated and off the ship quickly. So it was a great success and allowed us to actually test our protocols live and in action. You know, the detail they've gone to, James, I always like to use this as an example, is that, you know, that when you're walking around a city, of course, you're walking through dirt and grime and things, or even if it's a nice clean city, and you walk on board, you might have viruses, bacteria, and other things on your feet. Well, they've even come up with an electrostatic mat that sits on all the gangways that
right.
when you walk on board, it kills anything that's on your feet. So that's how, to the extent of detail we've gone into on the protocols.
And that was all before the vaccinations came out. So that was last year when you were doing that. So
a lot of the, you know, first of all, we had the protocols for public health already for norovirus and just general public health rules. And what we've just done is build on this strong history that the cruise industry has and added additional inspections and things. So for instance, the luggage will all be sanitized before it's delivered. Every suite, even though people will be vaccinated, will be sanitized before the next guest moves in. Most likely the crew and the staff will be wearing masks and gloves most of the time. We're not expecting the guests to have to do that. What we'll probably ask them to do it is when they're boarding or right. if they're in a spot where they can't social distance, you know, like in an elevator or something like that, or if they're getting up from a show and going into the dining room, you know, where a group of them might gather just to put their mask on.
Right.
But once they're seated and enjoying themselves, that won't be the problem. And I think as time goes on, those regulations, it'll be depending on how things work and how well people are vaccinated. I think the one thing that we will insist, you know, used to be we had these hand washing stations throughout right. the ship, and there was always a butler standing next to one saying, would you mind washing your hands? And now he's going to say, you have to wash your hands. I think that's going to be one. That's, you know, as you know, Richards, that's one of his big things, you know, wear your mask when you have to and wash your hands. So.
Yeah. And if you do that, you're halfway there. And of course, you know, so it sounds like you have got everything ready so that you could start up pretty quickly within a month on all these sailings and then start to get back to kind of your normal itineraries that you've already had pre-scheduled. So, you know, once you start doing in Europe and the same in the later this year in Florida, you'll be able to get back up to speed pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be getting the crew to the ship, which is we can handle, I think. We've got a great team in Monaco that does that work. Plus, we've got the whole Royal Caribbean organization behind us. And then on top of that is then getting them the vaccine in their arm before we start operating. So those are two of the biggest challenges, but they're not unovercomable, assuming everything works together.
Yeah. Now, one of the interesting things during this whole period, because we kind of lost 2020, is that everybody was putting in their cruise plans for 2022 and 2023, even earlier than maybe you normally would. Are you finding that travel advisors are booking that far out now for their?
Yeah. We'll be releasing 23 sometime probably before the middle of summer. So, but in 22, our bookings are well ahead of where they were at 19 at the same time. Now, by the way, they have to be because, you know, I have the moon. The Origin's tit for tat because she's replacing a ship the same size, but we've added the moon and she hasn't sailed. So there's another 596 guests. And then the Dawn comes out this fall. So, you know, we're going to more than double our capacity by the end of 2023. So right. I need to at least have in 2022, about 30-40% additional customers. And right now that's kind of how we're trending. So we're relatively excited about it. The signs that we're seeing is, number one, is people are booking longer cruises, because I think, you know, a lot of our average customers like my age, you know, so, and you know, and you start to realize as you get older that the rest of your life's not as long as the past life. So you start thinking about things like that. So we've had a lot of clients that said, geez, you know, I didn't travel all in 20 and I didn't get to travel in, you know, the first half of 21. So now that I'm going, I'm going to take either a longer cruise or take back to back. And my favorite story is we have a guest, the very first one to book the Greek Islands cruises, he booked all 90 days.
Oh, really?
And he's a really great customer. And I call him, just said, geez, you know, Steve, what are you doing? And he goes, I got to get out of my apartment in New York. I'm going to kill my wife.
See, that's a reason to cruise number one. I'm going to kill my wife in my apartment, right?
No, but seriously, he just said, this is a guy who travels 200 days a year, maybe more, and he hasn't traveled in 18 months. Can you? I mean, I'm that kind of guy. And you even more than me. I travel between 150 and 180 days a year. And you know, the furthest I've been from home is the flying up to my house in North Carolina. I kind of enjoyed going through TSA and everything, just to have that social contact.
It's the pain you didn't know you missed.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we were talking a little bit about, you're talking about people, you were talking about the world cruise, and obviously that's very important to you. I saw that you were booking very strongly for world cruise next year and in the future, right?
Well, what happened was we launched 23, and I have to say, you know, I have to eat crow, because I told my guys when they told me they were going to start the world cruise in Sydney in 23, I said, boy, it's never going to sell. And because I was getting feedback from a lot of our guests, but there were two things I didn't consider. It was, number one, is that the last one ended in Sydney. So for a lot of these people, it's a continuation of their voyage.
Right.
And then the second thing about it is, by beginning in Sydney, the south side store, as we call it, because the ship stays south of the equator most of the way, by saving those 18 to 20 some days crossing the Pacific, even though it's very interesting to go to Polynesia and to Samoa and those places, allows a lot more depth and of itinerary for the rest of the world. So, you know, she's going to do, you know, Hong Kong and some great ports in Asia, and then head over. And of course, well, now we've got Myanmar, so we're making adjustments there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, India, down around the tip of South Africa, up the west coast of Africa, and then down a crossing, which is a pretty short crossing to the Amazon River, to the entrance, and going all the way up the Amazon, and then heading back into Fort Lauderdale. So, and you know, of course, I always told everybody I wanted my crow medium well, because it sold out in the first couple of days. I mean, we still have a cabin here and there because people change their mind and they book that. She's relatively just sold out, best we've ever done. And the other interesting thing that happened is a lot of people said, well, hell, I'm not waiting until 23. I'm going to go in 22. So 22 filled up too.
Yeah.
On you know, a combination of full cruise and segments. So I would say these will be the two most successful world cruises that Silversea's operated since we started. Now, 22 has a lot of future cruise credits and credits for people that got canceled and, you know, canceled off this cruise, canceled off this cruise, canceled off that cruise. But 23 is going to be a real winner for us. And then the other issue is, for those folks that don't want to fly out to Sydney in 23, we've got the new Dawn doing a round South America cruise that's 60 days that they can add Europe to on the back end and create their own grand cruise, which a lot of people are doing. We have in next March, we have a 90-day cruise from Athens to Stockholm without repeating a port. It does every port in the Mediterranean, even into the Black Sea, and then comes up, but does the coast, and then goes up as far as Iceland and ends up in Stockholm. So it's a 90-day cruise, although they can take it as short as 10 days.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing, a great option to have. And actually, you brought up something there. For next year, obviously a lot of people could not travel in 2020 and actually the beginning, obviously, into this year. So you had a buildup probably of a lot of future cruise credits that are out there. Are you finding that for the bookings heading out for later this year in 22, these are mostly FCCs, or are they new bookings?
No, you know, they're new bookings. We have a lot of FCCs, but less than half. Because I think what's happened to my FCC customers, they're some of my most loyal customers, my loyal guests, and they've canceled and rebooked their cruise now for the third or fourth time. So one of the reasons I'm so excited about the June 18th opportunity in the Met is that it's, I can say with 99% confidence that we're going to sail, versus, you know, before I would always say, well, if this happens and that happens, then this happens and you got blue eyes, we might be able to start sailing in October. But now I can say specifically that they can book. So they're starting to book. But no, most of the, I would say probably 60% of the bookings we're getting are actually haven't sailed or don't have a credit. And the other thing, we're getting a lot of new to cruising, which surprised the heck out of me, particularly obviously in expedition. We get a lot of new to cruising anyway, but and that's exciting too. So I think everything's is pretty steady. I mean, there's holes here and there, but it's just about, I think once we get up and operating and people are comfortable with this whole concept of vaccinated cruises, then I think 22 is going to be a slam dunk. It's just a matter of getting there.
That's great. That's great. Now, one of the issues that's come out of all this is obviously that, you know, for the past year, a lot of travel advisors have had pretty much no income. And it started getting a conversation together about how commission is paid and how they are compensated in the form. And some of them have been out to try to get sort of earlier partial payment for fully deposited cruises. That's been suggested by some major cruise agencies, by some other folks. What is Silversea doing to kind of help travel advisors cash flow now, and what might it do in the future?
Well, I'd like to go back to 2020 because, as you probably remember, we have this program called EBB, Early Booking Bonus. Right. So if people paid 100% of their sailing when they booked, they could save 10%. And about 70% of our customers take advantage of that program because, you know, where else are you making 10% on your money? So, right. And they're definitely going to cruise. And there weren't a lot of strings attached to it, so you could still get the normal cancellation penalties. So in many cases, if those cruises were fully paid, and we had to cancel the cruise, then the travel advisor got to get their commission when the ship sailed anyway. So right. We've paid out, I don't know the exact number, but I'm guessing it's close to $10 million in commissions in 2020 and early 2021 where we haven't run a cruise. The second thing we've done is, of course, we're part of the Royal Caribbean, pay it forward with the loans. And so we're involved in that. And then what we've been doing for the last month is we've had this bonus commission. So if you book a cruise in the third quarter, fourth quarter, or the first two of 2021 or first two quarters of 22, we're paying a $200 a bonus commission once the deposit is made.
Right, right.
So that's, and we've paid out, I think it's roughly another $500,000 there. So, and then we've, the other thing we have done is waived penalties. So, to get people to hang in there. So we're not really enforcing any penalties till 60 days before sailing. Sure. And then even within 60 days, we have cruise with confidence. So if a customer, you know, at the last day gets cold feet and doesn't want to go, then they don't get a refund, but they get a future cruise credit for the amount they paid. So, and then last but not least, we are looking at working on right now how to manage our final payment. The trouble with final payment and full commission is, what if they cancel? Because commission recalls, we've had to recall some commission, and it's been difficult because the client canceled before we did. Yeah. And if the client canceled before we did, we didn't protect that commission, but we'd already paid it to the advisor, right, the agency. So we've had to recall some commission. So it's not great, particularly at this time. And we've been somewhat flexible about terms and those sorts of things. But so what we're looking at maybe doing is adjusting our penalty schedule so that, instead of the penalties kicking in at 100% at 30 days, we can maybe think about kicking, because I don't think the customer cares, right, particularly if they've got insurance. So what we are thinking about doing is kicking in the penalties at 60 days, and then we can afford to pay them that commission without the fear of it being recalled if should the client not decide to sell. So we're looking into those things. We just got so many moving parts right now, and we haven't sailed for a while. That's something I think we'll address a little bit further down the line.
No, that's,
but we understand it. We need a distribution system. You know, one of the challenges, I have a couple of huge clients that actually had to let a lot of their staff go, and now they can't answer their phones,
right,
because of the fact that the demand has picked up so much. So we need the distribution system. You know, I've actually just this week, we're training a brand new reservation class because, you know, we put quite a few people on furlough, and a lot of them found other work. So now we've got to go out and find another group of team to train. And the great news, got lots of people apply for the job. So Sure. We're going to, you know, and again, because of the size that we're growing to, we're going to need to increase the staff once we start operating. It's just hard to spend money when you're not bringing anything in. So
that's true.
We're very tight with money right now, and we're not going to spend it unless we see a return on the investment pretty quick.
Yeah, no, and that's how it's both from your company and obviously the travel agencies out there trying to ironically ramp up at a time when they still don't have money, you know, that's coming in.
No, you know, I have to say I think this has proven the distribution system is very resilient. And, you know, and James, you and I have always kidded over the times we've known each other about how this business has evolved. You've got, you know, still got brick and mortar, which everybody right. said was going to be gone years ago. You've got the IC homes. You've got the blended mix. You've got online. You've got this, that. There must be 50, 60, 70 different models. And, you know, I think the industry's done pretty well either at taking advantages of the support that they got from the industry, taking advantages of the support, you know, finally the federal government started recognizing ICs like human beings.
Right.
And help them pay them money when they lost their income, like they do when somebody has a regular job. And then the other thing that's happened is some people aren't getting out of the business, but what they've done is they've decided to maybe hook into another organization that's the host. They'll right. allow them to cut their overhead and the host agencies have been very flexible on their fees, et cetera. So it's been one of those things where I think we have lost some people that have kind of given up on cruise sales. But most of those that had a good book of business, they're just basically standing by trying to keep their powder dry. And again, they're as frustrated as we are because most great travel advisors, not only are they good at and they could make good money at traveling, but they also like to travel and they haven't had the chance to do so. So I think it's going to come roaring back, and I think we might see some people from other fields coming back into it. You know, the challenge of our business, because you're paid on commission and it's paid, you know, you book a $1 million cruise now, it's not paid for a year, is how do you manage your life and budget your life? And that, like being a real estate agent or insurance agent or anybody works on full commission, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And I do think there have been a lot of travel advisors in kind of hibernation for the last year or so, if they had to be. Although, as they'll tell you, they were working like dogs in the beginning, just trying to rebook stuff. And
Get refunds. You know, we've processed $300 or $400 million worth of refunds without touching them, you know. So it took a while to get it going. And the entire time, the poor advisors are got the consumer in the ear, where's my money? Where's my money? You know, we've done, I think, an amazing job of refunding all that cash, issuing all those FCCs. But, you know, again, the advisors had to take that and not make any more. Now, the good news is we're paying them commission on the cruise that canceled, assuming they didn't cancel ahead of time. And we're paying on the FCC again. So it's a good deal for the advisor, because if you've got a book of business, you know those people are going to spend that currency, because that currency is only good on Silver Sea. So that gives them hope. They just got to bridge the gap.
No, absolutely. Now, let's shift back to you got the Silver Moon coming in, and that'll be, even though it's a ship that was technically finished last year, it's going to be kind of reintroduced here in June in Greece.
Going to have that new ship smell still.
It's still there. I hope so. Boy, unless, you know.
It's ironic, James. You know, the week before we took delivery, there was a fire in the warehouse at the shipyard, and we had a lot of our furniture still there. I think Viking did, too. And it burned up a lot of the furniture. So if we would have started, we would have had a little bit of a challenge with having enough furniture on board. But fortunately, they were already building furniture for the Dawn. So that furniture unloaded on the Moon. So she's ready to go. And we're excited about having her. And then we got the Dawn coming up in the fall, which is, I'm glad it's the fall and not now, because I'd hate to take another ship, deliver it, and let it sit around doing nothing. So that'll be in the fall. And then from there, we got two more ships the following year. We call them right now Innovation, because we don't distract from what we're doing now. And secondly, the Royal Caribbean team, along with the Silver Sea team, is working on all kinds of different stuff that we just don't currently have on our current ships. Because as you know, every time we build a new ship, we like to, you know, add something new and change things. So for instance, on Moon, we're going to try this salt program, Sea and Land Taste, where the menu in one of the restaurants changes based on the places we're sailing. Nobody's ever done this before. So we're going to start that. We've increased the La Dame from 30 seats. You know, I used to be the maitre d' of La Dame, because when an agent couldn't get one of their clients spending $100,000 dinner in the Dom on their anniversary. Guess who they called? So so now the Dom has 67 seats on a 500 passenger ship. So everybody should be able to go to the restaurant at least once. And so we've made a lot of fine tuning. We've increased the size of Arts Cafe. We've made the spa bigger. So these new ships with that whole imagination group over at Innovation Group, I should say, at Royal, we're really kind of excited about some of the crazy things they're proposing.
Well, where is the Dawn going to start out?
She'll start off right now. She's planned to do a couple cruises in the Med, and then cross over and start a fall season in the U.S. in late October, early November. And then, like I said, she'll do a couple cruises in November, December down to Peru and back through the Panama Canal. And then she'll start a long South America cruise, 66 days, I think, round trip Fort Lauderdale, and then go back to Europe in early March, mid-March.
You got two brand new ships that are going to be coming out really this year for all to see. As you said, they still have that new ship smell. And I learned something today that I didn't realize you did serve as a maitre d'. So that I'll remember that.
High paid maitre d',
I want to get that reservation. Now, let's talk a little bit about just one of the final questions I wanted. This whole pandemic period, you know, you've had to rethink strategies, introduce innovations. Has anything good come out of this period?
Oh, yeah, a lot has. First of all, my wardrobe has gotten, has been able to maintain, although for some reason they've all shrunk since I've been, we're not working, because I have trouble button collars and things. But
yeah, I know, I had that problem too. My tux shrank too. I don't know what happened.
I think the first thing we've learned how to is how we can work remotely and still maintain a team, which is now we plan to get back into the office when we can, but our office is actually open for those staff that want to go into it.
Right.
But we've learned how to work remotely and still keep the team spirit and keep the service levels high, which I'm really impressed with. And particularly us, if you think about it, because we're so spread out, we've got offices in Sydney and in Frankfurt and in London and in Singapore. So we're all over the world, and we've been able to do that. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is we've been able to figure out how to get by without spending money. You know, before every dollar we spent, you know, we always had to try to get a certain return on investment in co-op and those sorts of things. But now we're focusing much, much more on that and saying, is this worth the investment? Is there a better way to invest that money? You know, is it direct mail? Is it Google Word buys have become ridiculously expensive even during the pandemic, and the return on investment on those has become very difficult. So,
sure.
So we've been able to test a lot of different things that I think give us a lot more market intelligence. We've worked closer with our trade partners to plan things. You know, all of our trade partners have what I like to say is some kind of wish list, wonder list, bucket list. And the great news is for those advisors who finally got done rebooking everybody, they've actually come to us, or we've come to them, or we've gotten together, and we're making plans for the future. Because, Ann Scully is a great example, you know.
Sure.
I remember, you know, I've known Ann since I worked at Royal Viking Line back in 1982. She always is that person that was closing this cruise sale for $20,000, and then she's saying, let's not talk about the cruise list right now, because you're going to be leaving in 6 months. Let's talk about what you're going to do next.
Right.
And then what you're going to do next. And what's happened is that that's been kind of codified now. And so what Ann is, and a lot of great agents, not just Ann, but a lot of great agents have become a valued, which they should be, a valued advisor to their their financial advisor to that guest. And so, make a plan. What trips do you want to take with your family? What trips are you going to go solo? So we've learned a lot of things there. And the other thing, we've been able to try things, promotions. For instance, Zoom is a great example.
Yeah.
I did a Zoom presentation the other day with Conrad and one of our other folks, Andy, and then with also one with Fernando, who runs our operation in Costa Rica. And one of them, we had 67 people phones on, and we took 30 bookings. I mean,
wow.
And normally when we would do an event live like that, you know, that would have included a cocktail party and all this other stuff, and, you know, days traveling and all the money you spend. And we were able to generate it with, just like we are now having a conversation
sure.
with a bunch of people that are ready to book. And and not doing a hard pitch, just talking about why you should book with Silver Sea too. Yeah. It wasn't a pitch, you know, book now and save and all that. It was, here's what we're doing and here's how it's going to happen.
No, that's great. Certainly we have technology and our, you know, the ability to work from home, from work remotely, something that I've known for quite some time.
Well, you were way ahead of the curve. I think you saw this coming, because when did you start your business?
Yeah, well, the thing I didn't see was the revenue part, which I we started, I think last year was going to be, obviously we're only about 4 years old, although as you know, I've been doing this a bit longer than that. And we thought, you know, we were doing great. And then of course, March, that was the end of it.
But the idea of doing video content versus print content, you know, and doing both, you were ahead of your scheme, and I'm sure economically this hasn't been helpful, but it gives you kind of a leg up against other people who aren't as adept at this as you and Alan are.
We hope that is indeed the case. We certainly have increased our video content, and really we're now up to, I don't know, almost 2,000 videos now that we've done since our inception. So it's been a pretty amazing ride. But let's close this out by, is there anything else that you want to tell travel advisors about what's going on at Silver Sea today, about the restart, you know, as we emerge from the pandemic?
Well, the restart's real. I think that's the first case. And so, you know, if people can see even that we're operating in 2021, I keep losing track of what year it is, that they're confident to book in 22. And I think we're seeing that. So that's the thing, the message they should be giving to those guests that are hanging back. I think the second issue is please stay in contact with your client. Because if you're not talking to them, I guarantee you somebody else is. You know, we've got all these videos, we've got these blogs that you can go on board and, you know, make a copy of the URL and email it to 10 clients. You know, you hear me tell this story every chance I can, and email it to just that. I don't want you to email it to 100, because that's right. Then you have to get the list together and everything else.
Yeah.
But just send it to 10 and say, listen, I saw this video and I thought of you. The other thing is we've got, and every other cruise line's got these programs at Marketing Central on our websites. And because you don't use them all the time, they're a little clunky when you first get involved, but ask your area sales director to help you, or the inside salespeople to help you create your first flyer electronically. And, you know, you can make a flyer for one customer and personalize it on this site. And I can actually do it, which means it has to be pretty easy to do. So I think that's the other thing. So it's keeping in touch with your client, not harassing them to always book, but, hey, say, listen, I saw – you know, you were talking about going to Venice. There's this great article on their blog that says what to do if you've been to Venice 5 times before, you know, and what to do in the Galapagos and what to dress in Antarctica and all that stuff. It allows people to do a little armchair traveling, which is what people are doing anyway. And they're very, very well produced and very thoughtful. We've got some amazing writers writing for us. You should just look at the blogs from the World Cruise of some of the authors we had last year on each of the segments. They're just amazing stories, and all something around travel, but not specifically around the trip they're on, but what travel meant to them and what travel means to the world. And, you know, we had authors from all over the world on it. So that's the one thing I would say to them. First of all, you got to be patient. I know it's not easy. I'm the least patient guy I know. It is going to happen. We are going to get back. But learn from the other thing I'd ask everybody to do is learn from and remind your client of what we've had to give away over the last year and a half, and remind them of that so they should keep traveling. You know, there is the old story of Dave Levine. You remember Dave? He's a great friend. He's retired up in the – unfortunately, his wife just passed. But Dave Levine used to say at the end of his speech – and we have these business class air offers, and they're really great. And Dave would always say at the end of the speech, he says, and by the way, if you don't fly first class, trust me, your kids will. So convince your customers to plan and to include travel as now that they haven't had it for a couple of years, is reminding them how important it is to their life. And you know, and I think the great thing is, you know, just to give you a quick note, I know I'm rambling on a little bit, but, you know, to tell you how important our crew is, and I never could emphasize this enough, we have some Venetian Society members who got together and created a GoFundMe page.
Right.
And they've raised $227,000 that they're distributing to crew members in need right now. Now, he contributed to it with him too. But, I mean, that's amazing that here are people that spend, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a day to sail with us, and they think enough about my crew, our crew, to be willing to send them, you know, to organize money, ask their friends to put in money, and to raise, you know, basically $250,000 in a pretty short period. And you know, and that is the secret sauce of Silver Sea, I think, is that amazing crew that when they get on board, the crew remembers them. Sure. They become like part of the family. So it's exciting that that's how much these people want us to get back in shape and want our crew to go back to work, which is the other reason that we're starting these cruises as quickly as we can. I'm not sure we're going to make very much money on them, but what we will do is have, you know, several hundred crew members and, you know, and over time, several thousand crew members back to work, which is really important to us.
Right. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for taking the time. It's always fascinating to talk with you in good times. And here we've had this amazing, well, you know, it's been an experience, that's for sure, with the pandemic. And as we start to emerge, and your insights into how we're going to emerge and what it's going to take are really crucial to understanding the comeback. So I do want to thank you for taking the time. And the next time, hopefully, we will do one of our live interviews, one-on-one, somewhere in the world, whether it's on Silver Moon or one of the industry conferences. And always a pleasure. So again, thank you so much.
James, I just want to add one thing is please get your vaccination if you haven't already had it, and get your clients to get their vaccination if they haven't already had it. You know, I always joke that if you get sick from the sick and die from the, you feel like you're going to die from the vaccination, you should go out and buy a lottery ticket, because your odds of winning the lottery are about the same as getting sick and dying from the vaccination. So if you want to travel in 2021, you got to get your vaccination. And that might even go into 22. The second one is obviously wash your hands. And the last one is wear your mask when appropriate. So James, thanks for everything you do for the industry.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.